Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Friday, June 9th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Tesla's letting General Motors into its walled garden of chargers. Turkey's return to rational economic policy so far means a plunging lira. Plus, we'll talk about Rishi Sunak's visit with Joe Biden yesterday.
And I think that's very important for Britain because their ties with the European Union have frayed economically since Brexit.
I'm Sonia Hudson, in for Mark Filippino, and here's the news you need to start your day. Starting next year, General Motors drivers will be able to plug their electric cars into 12,000 of Tesla's fast charging stations. It's similar to a move that Tesla announced with Ford last month. Tesla operates the majority of fast charging stations across the country. GM's chief executive called it, quote, an important next step in expanding access. For right now, though, GM vehicles will have to use an adapter to connect to the chargers. British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak met with U.S. President Joe Biden in Washington yesterday. The two leaders played up their relationship. Here's Sunak.
And we were talking earlier about our hometowns. Joe is very rightly proud of Scranton. And I was telling him a little bit about Southampton in England, where I'm from.
And they announced an economic agreement called the Atlantic Declaration. To find out more about what went down during the summit, I met up with our Washington bureau chief, James Politi, in our D.C. bureau, just a few blocks from the White House. Hi, James.
Hi.
So are they really as cozy as they would like us to believe?
Well, they have met, I think they mentioned, you know, four times in the past 4 months. Sunak has been in office as prime minister for less than a year. So it's really a budding relationship. And I think that they're starting to certainly have a better dynamic than certainly we saw with Biden and previous British prime ministers.
How big of a deal is this Atlantic Declaration?
It's really an important step towards kind of strengthening the economic relationship, but it falls short of a like comprehensive free trade agreement. So it sort of narrowly focuses on certain areas where I think both in London and Washington, they want to strengthen supply chains and the resilience of supply chains.
Can you give us a few highlights of what's in there?
Well, so it'll allow the British manufacturers to qualify for clean energy tax credits in the United States. It'll open up some of the defense procurement to British companies. And it also includes a recognition of Britain's role in artificial intelligence as they try to kind of set new norms and sort of ramp up their capacity in that sector.
What does this mean for the UK? What does this agreement mean for our friends across the pond?
Well, I think they can say that, you know, at the very least, things are kind of kicking into higher gear in terms of economic ties in a way and in sort of on terms that are set by Biden and by the US, but at least they're kind of forging an economic relationship that is stronger than it was. And I think that's very important for Britain because their ties with the European Union have frayed economically since Brexit, and they've kind of made no secret that they have to improve their economic ties with the rest of the world, and the U.S. was a pretty big hole in that space.
So, James, what does this economic pact mean for China and supply chains and, you know, our place on the global stage?
It's an attempt to what President Biden would call sort of de-risk the U.S. from Chinese supply chains. It's the latest sort of chapter in that effort. It's an attempt to say, it's better if our supply chains are integrated with Western economies, democracies around the world. And though the U.S. does not support like a wholesale decoupling, they're trying to gradually limit the exposure of American supply chains to China because you never know what might happen geopolitically.
So there's this classic phrase that people use to describe the relationship between the US and the UK. They talk about this special relationship, quote unquote, that the countries have. Does that still hold true?
I think to a certain extent, it still does. I mean, you could tell in the room today, in the East Room of the White House, that there is definitely something particularly important about the UK and US relationship. And I think you can feel it at the moment, especially on the geopolitical front. I think probably over time and with different leaders in the White House and in number 10, you will see that in different areas. So sometimes it'll be sort of more of a political alliance. Sometimes it'll be more of an economic alliance. In this case, I think it's more of a geopolitical alliance.
James Palaidi is the FT's Washington Bureau Chief. Thanks, James.
Thank you.
Turkey's currency plunged this week after a new finance minister took office. Mehmet Şimşek promised a return to what he called rational policy. Here's the FT's Turkey correspondent, Adam Sampson.
The lira was seen as very, very overvalued because the government was taking all these measures to prop it up. The main one being economists think they spent billions of dollars of their foreign currency reserves to do that. And so as they slow down those interventions, the lira is expected to fall quite a bit. So it's one of these weird times when a fall actually isn't necessarily seen as a bad thing.
Adam, how does the lira falling help Turkey's economy, which I should mention is one of the world's biggest, so there's a lot at stake here?
I mean, the idea is, if everything goes to plan, you let the lira weaken, and then your exports start rising because Turkish goods become cheaper, and your imports start falling because the cost of imported goods becomes more expensive. That should really help close the current account deficit, which is quite wide right now in Turkey. And that's one of the really big problems the Turkish economy has, actually.
And is another goal to bring back foreign investors?
Exactly. That's the other thing. It makes Turkish assets cheaper for foreign investors, too. So it gives them an incentive to come here. I mean, investors have basically deserted Turkey over the last several years because of all these unconventional policies, and also in part because the lira is seen as very overvalued. So it could hopefully bring some foreign capital in as well.
So more broadly, how significant is this move back to more orthodox economic policy?
I mean, I think people see it as potentially quite a big deal if they really make sort of a durable shift toward more orthodox policies. They've done this before, though, and people are very, very worried that they'll do it for, you know, 6 months, and then the president will decide that he doesn't want to continue on that path anymore. Maybe it's because people are hurting from the weaker lira, or he doesn't like the higher interest rates, or that sort of thing, and then he changes course. So, I mean, I'd say the mood from investors is cautious optimism, but cautious definitely being the key word.
Adam Sampson is the FT's Turkey correspondent. You can read more on all these stories at FT.com. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back next week for the latest business news. The FT News Briefing is produced by Mark Filipino, Fiona Simon, and me, Sonia Hudson. Our editor is Jess Smith. We had help this week from Katie McMurrin, David De Silva, Michael Lello, and Gavin Kallman. Our executive producer is Topher Forges. Cheryl Brumley is the FT's global head of audio, and our theme song is by Metaphor Music.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
The latest episode of The Next Five podcast is out now, and it's all about AI and creativity. I speak to Doug Eck, Senior Research Director at Google DeepMind.
Creativity is part and parcel of humanity.
YouTube creator Danny Vidari.
AI can give us humans new ideas.
And Neil Maiden, Professor of Digital Creativity at City University London.
AI creates a lot of opportunities. I think it's a great leveler.
Listen to the full episode of The Next Five wherever you get your podcasts. Enjoy.